We'll just do this.
Okay. That kind of put me to the side like, since I got the mic on.
You got the mic on you, so you're good. They're hearing you. Everything you say, they got.
Okay. Okay. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen again.
Amen.
Amen a third time.
Amen.
Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we just give God all the praise and all the glory, for he's worthy to be praised.
Amen.
So we just thank God for all of you coming out on this morning, giving thanks to Pastor Crosby and First Lady Jan. And we just give thanks for all of you, because you didn't have to come, but you did. And for that, we say thank you. But we realize that people don't have to be kind to you, but whenever they do, the proper response is thank you. So we thank you for coming out. Truly, we are blessed to be where we are. And as a blessing, let us just continue to meditate and praise God for what he has been doing in our lives, what he's done in the past, what he's done presently, and what he'll continue to do for us in the future. Because you see, he's a God that loves us, does not make mistakes. So we just want to give God all the praise and glory. And want to thank my sister for reading the scripture coming from the book of Philippians. And we want to concentrate on that first chapter out of Philippians, around that 26th and 27th verse will be our focus. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by coming to you again, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Father God, we come right now to say thank you. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us this opportunity to stand before the living and the dead. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And I ask right now, O God, that you bless these, your people. Bless them, O Heavenly Father, with the gifts, O God, that they have asked of you. We ask that you bless them and allow them to be all you want them to be. Continue to provide traveling mercy and grace. Now, O God, I ask that you hide me behind the cross so that only you can be seen. Speak so loud to these your people so that only you can be heard. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And the redeemed of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
Amen. want to speak to you this morning. Not going to hold you long. But we want to talk about the life of Christian joy. The life of Christian joy. You see, we all are Christ's disciples. And he loves each and every one of us. No matter what we have done or said, he still loves us. But there's a life of Christian joy that all of us should exhibit. Now, the book of Philippians, this church in Philippi was the first church to be established in Europe. And it was established by the Apostle Paul while on his second missionary journey. Paul writes a thank you note to the believers at Philippi for their help in his hour of need. And he uses the occasion or the platform, so to speak, to send along some instruction on Christian unity. Central thought is very simple, church. Only in Christ will you find real unity and joy made possible. With Christ as your model of humility and service, you can enjoy a oneness of purpose, attitude, goal, and labor. Paul exhorts the church to stand fast and be of the same mind. Rejoice in the Lord always, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that I know he will. Looking at the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of the book of Philippians. You see, Paul wrote about the gospel and he was not ashamed of the gospel. In other words, he realized that the gospel that he was writing about was worth writing for because he believed in Jesus the Christ. The life of Christian joy. When living a life of Christian joy, there are some instructions which you must follow. First of all, you must be born again. Once you become born again, you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are put aside. Old habits and old ways of doing things are cast aside. And when you become a new creature, when this happens, you have the divine nature within your heart, which is the nature of God. Which means the Holy Spirit now actually resides within your heart and your life. The entirety of your life is now going to be different. You have been cleansed from all sin and have embarked upon the greatest journey that one could ever undertake. A whole new world is about to open up to you. You now will have something to live for and something to which you can look forward to, Pastor. There is absolutely nothing in the world that can compare with the love of Jesus the Christ, which you received and which will never end. You see, from the moment you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, your life has been changed. You have experienced a joy and peace which the cares of the world can't take away. And this blessed assurance was given to you as a free gift from God. No doubt we are grateful. The life of Christian joy, the kind that no one can take from you. Do you know this kind of joy, church? Some don't. Why? Because of the people they are with. Or to be more accurate, because of their attitude toward the people they are with. Such a person is quite convinced that the only problem with society is other people. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Help me out. The thing that often takes the melody from our hearts and keeps us from living the life of Christian joy is that we are not living in a right relationship with other people. You see, my friends, there's a maladjustment. It's like a dislocated bone. As long as it remains dislocated, there's no ease, there's no comfort, there's no joy. The pain is still there. Paul is much aware that the life of Christian joy and our attitudes toward each other are vitally related, because he is concerned that personal relationships should never disrupt the life of Christian joy. Paul gets down to the matter of joy and the people you are with, the people that I'm with. Looking at our text, we are warned by Paul of two disrupting stresses that enter into our lives, which can disrupt the fellowship and destroy our joy. First, there is opposition from without. What you talking about, Pastor? Your adversaries, friend and foe, can bring ceaseless pressure to bear against you and the church. Since the church is the cause of Christian joy, the fellowship of believers which Satan wants to destroy, he will see to it that an ongoing attack is made on the church. But we are to stand firm. Our duty is to defeat this opposition from without by standing fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, when we're not on one accord, a spirit of division will defeat us. It will bring more confusion and disorder into Christian fellowship than anything else. One of the basic tactics of military science is to divide and conquer. To disrupt the unity, then make the most of the disunity. Paul is saying, when faced with opposition from without, don't give ground. Stand fast. It is our duty to defeat Satan in his effort to divide us. As we face opposition from without, it becomes a privilege to suffer for Jesus' sake. In other words, believing is part of being a Christian. But also suffering is too. In other words, we're going to have to give up our rights sometimes to have a fellow man wrong. And yes, we have to come up on the rough side of the mountain every now and again, but we must remember that God is still the anchor. And we are to put our trust in him. There's a disturbing power in the opposition from without. There's even a greater threat in the corruption from within. If cowardly retreat disturbs our fellowship, then selfish advancement disturbs it even more. Am I talking to somebody? Failing to give a helping hand when in need. But yet we're on our way to heaven anyhow. In other words, refusing to share with one another. not really being able to mourn when someone mourns and rejoice when someone rejoices. The means by which the church at Philippi were instructed on how unity and spiritual progress can be realized through opposition from without and within are valid for today's church. Listen, if you please. First, there's the presence of a life. We must let our pattern of life be one that reflects well on the gospel of Christ. Philippians 2:2 tells us to share the same love. You see, where there is this common life and love, there is the life of Christian joy. Secondly, there must be an absence of a limit. In other words, must be an absence of the limit, for the mind that was in Christ was one that set no limit on the amount of suffering that he was willing to experience. Christ never said, "Father, I will go only so far and no more." The Lord could not have gone further than he went. He could not have suffered more, and he could not have been more rejected or shamed or insulted than he was. Yet he who being in the form of God had the right to all the adoration, all of the obedience of all people, took their hatred and rebellion, took it all with no limits, even hung there on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. When your insults and injuries exceed those of our Lord, then maybe you will have the right to call a halt to your forgiveness. You won't have to forgive anymore, but not until then. Christians, another thing which causes a break in Christian fellowship that seeps out of joy is an unwillingness to forgive. The setting of a limit on how much wrong you are willing to suffer from another. You see, my friends, the moment we set a limit and refuse to forgive, we then die within. And the life of our Christian joy fades away. Bear with me just a little while. Have you ever said, "I'll forgive, but I don't want to have anything else to do with that person"? I did at one point. Yes, I did. But I'm glad that I was able to come back and God heard my prayer of repentance. Now, Jesus said that we should pray, "Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors," as we forgive. If you prayed, "Oh Lord, I'm so very sorry, I committed that sin," and God answered, "I'll forgive you, but I don't want to have anything else to do with you," you would say, "Well, that's no forgiveness." And you're right. Neither is yours forgiveness if you have set a limit. The life of Christian joy cannot be yours within the confines of a limit. We cannot arrest our Christian progress. We must work it out to its completion. In other words, we must work out our soul salvation. Few things bring our spiritual progress to a halt quite like severed relationships with other Christians. Perhaps you have come to a halt because you fell out with someone. Someone insulted you. Don't want anything else to do with them. Someone was unkind to you. Someone didn't thank you. You weren't placed on a committee or a board. You were criticized by a deacon. A choir member was not very appreciative. Believe it or not, husband and wives come to that point. "She didn't do this for me, and he didn't do this for me. I didn't get any Mother's Day. I didn't get any roses for Mother's Day. But because of that breakdown in relationships with other Christians, you have come to a spiritual standstill. And I want you to understand one thing. You stand still and God will fight your battle no matter what you're going through. But a spiritual standstill because of our own fault, our own ignorance, then we have to go back on bending knees and say, Lord, I'm your child and you are my father. Come on and see about me. Cleanse me or make me whole so that I can have that Christian joy that you want all of us to have. We must work out that soul salvation. See, you are held accountable for all of your deeds. The scriptures remind us that we must give an account to every deed that's done within the body. There's something unique about the experience of God's grace that God wants to work in you. Look beyond all our faults and he sees our needs. Your experience of Christ is quite different from anyone else. If you have something to offer that no one else can give, if you do not offer it, and if your growth and development becomes stagnated, then your church, then you too will suffer. A convincing witness is strengthened by your fellowship. Some folks actually believe that not to be a part of the fellowship and harmony with other Christians is a mark of great sanctity. But I beg to differ. Such a person is not a better Christian. If anything, he or she is dishonoring Christ and causing the Holy Spirit grief and disrupting the unity of faith. For your witness to be convincing, you must be a part of the Christian fellowship. Oh, you must have in your heart a right relationship with other people. You will not be able to rejoice as long as you have a dislocation, whether it's in your elbow, whether it's in your finger or your heart. We need to get right with others, and you will never sing right until you do. You need to get right with others. Let us relate with the hymn writer when he said, get right with God and let us do it now. Down at the cross where Jesus died, let us get right with God and let us do it now. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Made his way up a hill called Golgotha. Hung there from the sixth until the ninth hour, hung, bled, and died. Placed him in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed there. But he arose that third day morning with all power entrusted in the palm of his hands and said, I'm he which was dead, but now I am alive, and I am alive forevermore. I'm alive because I want you to be alive. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. I died so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. I died because the love that I have for you, I want you to have the same love for each other. That's why he said, we are to love you one another as Christ has first loved us. Then will others know that we are his disciples. So, as I said, I wasn't going to be long, but I just wanted to let you know that it is God's love. And if we want to experience Christian joy, as we love God, we love also our fellow man. We love each other. And any time then when things are not going the way it should go, because not everything is not going to go well all the time just because you are a Christian. You're going to have some ups and downs. You're going to have some trials and tribulations. But through it all, I want you to know that God said, I am that I am. Stretch out on me and I'll make a way out of no way. Yeah, right with God and do it now. Get right with God and He will show you how. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Get right with God. Get right with God. Children, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God and He will show you how. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Get right with God and get right with God. At this time, we are going to open the doors for discipleship. There may be someone who wants to come. You may come by baptism. You can come by letter. You can come by spiritual inspiration. However you like to come, this is the time to come and give Pastor Crosby your hand. Give God your heart. And the First Union African Baptist Church will help you work out your soul salvation. We're all in this together. So as we come hoping, we come trusting, and we come asking God to give us our heart desires. Is anyone who would like to come? This is the time to come. Father God, we come, O God, thanking you, O God, for your divine word. We ask right now, O God, that you allow us to harvest your word within our hearts so that we will not sin against thee. Bless these, your people, O Heavenly Father. Allow us, O Heavenly Father, to go forth and do what you have assigned us to do. Then bless this old war-torn world and bring peace out of confusion. Oh God, be ever so close to all of us, being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, admonishing each and every one of us. And then, oh God, we ask that you continue to bless our young people and allow them, oh Heavenly Father, to go forth and do your will. Continue to mount them up with wings as of eagles so that when they run, they don't get weary. When they walk, they will not faint, but they'll continue to walk in your name. They'll continue to love in your name. They'll continue to harmonize and do your will. Oh God, bless us and keep us as only you can. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Pastor. So we do have one closing hymn to send you all out on. It is so appropriate based upon our message that we just heard from Pastor Hay. We're going to close with the congregation hopefully singing along, but with being led by Linda and Danielle, "It Is Well With My Soul." Mm-hmm.